Welcome to the Marketing Growth Podcast. I'm your host, Shane Barker. I've been talking to Adam Robinson about his email marketing. In the last two episodes, we also touched base on how he built his email retargeting software company, Get Emails. He's also the author of a best-selling book, and I'm curious to find out more about his book. Tell me about your book that you, the permission, was it Shmarketing?
Shmarketing.
Okay.
Shmarketing.
So tell us what the premise is of that, just because I do want to hear about that.
So, you know, the sort of highest level is like, are products so controversial? I want like things that I thought were very important were like legitimizing it in every way possible, you know? And we do that a lot with faces, right? Like from prospecting to sales calls, it's like all video. Like the day of Zoom, like even if the customer's video is turned off, our video's on, like, you know. We have all of these pre-recorded sales enablement with podcasts. Like if you go to our website, like there's just so many faces, right? And then, you know, so another thing I thought would be very legitimizing is if I wrote a book about all this, right? Yeah. Like, cause that's just what's more legit than that, you know?
Yeah.
And there's this, you know, this company Drift, which if you're in marketing, probably heard of, like, I just like love everything they did with that.
I've been to their show. Yeah. In San Francisco. Yeah. And
I think it's like, it's an incredible thing. And like they're, I just try to do a lot of things like their brand. And one thing they did was they wrote a book super early on about this conversation marketing. They tried to create a category, you know, like, you know, sort of, that was something I thought was very important last November. And, you know, we were going to call it email-based retargeting, and the ads just started working so well. And we got so busy that like, I've sort of been distracted from that, but like now I got a guy helping out marketing and we're going to sort of focus on that. So Seth Godin wrote this book in 1999 called Permission Marketing, right? Mm-hmm. In the book, it literally says the consumer of the future is going to be so sophisticated starting today that the TV industrial complex, which he defined as interruption marketing, TV commercials, you know, it's like, you know, the marketing of the future will be permission-based only, and brands will get this permission and then they will slowly build trust and then it'll lead to a conversion very elegantly, very gentlemanly, I would characterize this. And Google was started a year earlier in 1998. And Facebook, I don't know what, it was probably started a year later, 2000, 2001, I think. And Seth was just wrong, right? Like it was totally wrong. Like not only, like the idea that permission would be the only channel that consumers acknowledge
It's insane.
I just laugh at it. You know, Seth Godin is amazing. He writes great books. Like,
for sure.
Permission marketing is great, but it's only one way to do it. Like, I love when I get lectured on these videos on Facebook from somebody who's like, Seth Godin would be rolling in his grave. It's like, dude, like, I forced you to watch this fucking video. Yeah. Like, how could you tell me? Yeah, how could you possibly tell me that permission marketing is like the way that it's being done right now? Like,
yeah.
Like Facebook and Google created new ways of interrupting people, and they're worth $1 trillion each.
Yeah, right? Not doing like, too bad. Last time I checked,
$1 trillion. It's like, I'm sure Seth's doing great. Like he totally missed this. Like,
yeah,
this idea that,
which is okay. He's not the end all be all, right? It's like
exactly.
Your stuff's like, still good, but it's like there's other things going on here in this party.
It's one part of your marketing effort, right? Like you need your email list, you need people that have given you that permission, and you need to market to them. But like, advertising until we die will be interrupting people over and over again with the same message. It just will be you know, there'll be ways to target them better, which the Google and Facebook invented, and you know, the media will change or whatever, but like at the end of the day, like you're going to get interrupted by people when you're using a free service
marketing. That's our goal. Our goal is to stay in front of you.
Yeah. So, and then there's this weird thing, you know, I understand why it exists, but like, there's this weird sacredness to the inbox, you know, like for some reason, like that's the place that like, you're like a felon if you like send it on. So like, since our product was a non-permission based email tool, you know, and our podcast called the same thing, I thought it was a clever title to just call it permission marketing. And oh man, the book's out there, but like if you hold the cover up, like Seth's permission marketing is like an orange cover and he's got a bald head and he's just like looking up at the title. Mm-hmm. My book's like exact same color, like, but a dude with hair looking up at the, it's just, you know, so that's kind of like the story. It's just all about, you know, where this came from, what, how the technology works, like different ways to succeed with it. It's entirely, you know, I had no ambition to write a book other than I wanted to be like, have a brand like David Cancel's Drift. And yeah. I thought it was like everything they did was so cool. So like, and I really would buy into this category creation effort idea, this like Jack Rice, or, you know, positioning that book, right? It's like,
yeah,
you want to be the firstest with the mostest, like stick a stake in the ground, say, this is my space. And I thought that a book was a good way to do that. You know,
it is.
And it's really just, I probably wrote like 40 blog posts in the first 8 months, or sorry, in the first 8 weeks about, you know, if you write a couple a day, it doesn't really take that long. It's just about every part of this thing that people don't know. I'm like, this is a major thing that I thought the other small companies weren't doing. It's like, you're not going to use this product unless you understand what it is.
Yeah, for sure.
Like I would ask these other companies, it's like, you know, how is this CAN spam compliant? And the answers that you would get were just not good answers. Right? Yeah. Like, they're like, it just is. I'm like, so like, you know, our answer to that, like we show, we like send people to the FTC website that summarizes CAN spam. It's like, CAN spam is an opt-out law. It's not opt-in. Like the reason you think that it is because it's been marketed to you that way by email service providers, Gmail, Hotmail.
We're good. Yeah. Don't be scared. Come to the dark side. It's going to be fine over here. Don't worry. Yeah,
totally.
I promise you.
And it's not a license to spam, right? Like you there's this is a whole other conversation, but email marketing is about engagement, right? Yeah. Everything is set up now. They don't care if you get opt-ins or not. It's like they care if people open and click on your email and complaint rates and unsubscribe rates are low. Like you could get emails from the most non-opt-in place. If those metrics are better, it will help your deliverability.
Yeah, for sure.
If you got opt-ins with metrics that are bad, it's going to hurt you, right? So
yeah. Well, that's usually the problem is people buy a list or what they do, whatever, and they spam the hell out of them. And of course, they get on it, then and that's like, the issue.
Spam traps and low engagement and old lists are what kill you, right?
So yeah,
like,
for sure.
Like an ARB, a way to buy lists where it's so fresh, it's so new, and the way we get the emails, there's no spam traps. It can't possibly hurt you. So.
And plus, it's people that already came to your website. So to me, they're warm anyways. They already had an idea of who you are.
Yep.
So let's do this. What would you, knowing what you know today, what would you tell 21-year-old Adam? What would you tell him? Say, hey, Adam, this is Adam 2.0 talking to Adam 1.0. What kind of advice would you give to Adam? I mean, other than go to clarify.fm right now and start hiring mentors or Clarity. Yeah, Clarity right now and start hiring people.
You know, I was debating this issue. I would have probably said, figure out a way to like start trying to build tech companies sooner. But like, you know, I had the luxury. Well, it was like a blessing and a curse of like, I made a bunch of money trading. I had a bunch of savings and I just burnt through it, like getting to this lifestyle business that worked, you know? So I don't know what the alternative would have been, you know, it's starting companies. Like I think you probably either need to like be a salesperson or an engineer or something like that, or like really good marketer.
You'd tell Adam 1.0 to use somebody else's money. I think is probably what the answer would be.
Probably.
Keep your money. Let's find investors. Let's save maybe, the nest egg.
Although it's wonderful not having investors. I mean,
my first
journey with that Roley thing, that's exactly the path that ruins your life if you took investment money. It's like quick pop to like, you know, $3.5 million in revenue or something, and then it just stops and the investors are like,
on you.
Here's more money. Go try, you know what I mean? And like you can't do it, right? Like, so I kind of got to chill for a little while, which was nice. And it wasn't, part of it was amazing because like I wasn't, you know, it was like, once you've got this thing cruising and you're trying to find new things, it's not like you're grinding at 12 hours a day, right?
It's easier.
You're thinking about it all the time.
But yeah. Like, but you got money coming in.
Yeah, it's not so much work, right? It's work when it starts working and you're building the business. But like, that is totally unacceptable activity if you have investors. And it's not like, you can't go like travel for 2 years out of a suitcase.
They'd look at your Instagram and you would instantly be in trouble. But, instantly.
So, but it's not like it was like a comforting thing either, because you also know this thing's going to die. Like you need to be growing at 50 or 100%, I think, with tech companies. Or you see the writing on the wall. It's like you're managing this. You're basically managing this runoff asset.
Yeah. You know? want somebody to buy you or, you know, something, yeah, that, you know, got to get out of it. So, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's a weird, you know, anyway, I'm glad it didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's, I always love hearing people's journey, right? Cause it's always different. I mean, once you take money from VC, not that that's bad, but it definitely changes the game, right? Then you have a new set of rules and different people you have to talk to. So we're almost out of time, but what would be three people dead or alive that you would have dinner with, that you could, if you could have dinner with them, who are three people? I always love this because it kind of gives me a background on like what people like and what they're into. We've had people in the past say Obama, somebody wanted to have dinner with Jesus, which is awesome. I mean, hey, do your thing. I didn't say that because your hair and you look like Jesus. I'm just saying that just because it just naturally came up. Who would be three people? Who would be three people for you?
So, you know, I'm sure a lot of entrepreneurs say this. Like, I just like think what Elon Musk is doing, regardless of where that's got stocks trading, how he's losing it on Twitter, is just like so unbelievable. You know, it's like anytime I think about a problem I have, I'm like, this motherfucker made electric cars out of nothing. And now he's got like solar chargers all over America. And like, he's sending people to Mars and the moon and stuff. Like, at the same
And smoking weed with Joe Rogan on his podcast.
Yeah, like, I think I can figure this one out if that guy can.
Right? You know? If I'm just one tenth as smart as he is, I could probably do this.
And another thing about him that I think he understands a lot better than a lot of other super geniuses like him is the power of like having these stories to tell both. Well, most importantly, people that work for you, right? But like these incredibly bold visions, like, cause that's what people want to hear. It's like what the press wants to hear. It's what your customers want to hear. It's what your employees want to hear. And he's just like, not only is he trying to, like, Bezos is trying to solve a similar problem, right? He's trying to like move heavy industry into space, but it's so much less sexy than Occupy Mars, right? Yeah. Like something about Elon's understanding of this calling.
And it's how he puts it out there too, right? When he has these, it's almost like Apple's thing when they launch stuff. Like it's this, it's an absolute crazy, like Bezos doesn't have that necessarily, right? No. Like if this like, hey, let me show you what we're going to do. And people are like clamoring, like, what is he going to show us? Oh my God. And then he has a truck that comes out that's made out of titanium that can shoot up into the air. And people are like, you got to be kidding me. You know, it's like, it is the way that he launches, the way that he puts things together is absolutely brilliant. Like it just, he's next level. And it's, he's still so young and it's like, God, what's the next step? Like what, you know, now he's like, I'm just going to dig trenches and have in California and we're going to all go underground. I mean, why not? I mean, we're going to go to the moon. Why would I not dig trenches like a gopher and we can make transportation to the ground, right? Yeah. I mean, we've all thought of that. But then again,
where else could we go? Side to side?
I mean, what's next? Like maybe we just go into different galaxies and stuff. That's probably next week. But okay, cool. So Elon Musk is your big one there. Do you have two other ones quickly? Anybody else?
Yeah, I think, you know, like I always hear stories about like my great grandparents, like coming to Kansas and just like settling this like freezing and hot land, you know, like carrying limestone posts around. I'm just like dying to know, like, did you guys fight Indians? Like what was the,
What was your customer journey? Right. Life journey, I guess.
Yeah. So I would love to talk to my great grandparents. And then I think the third one right now, just cause like, I'm so obsessed with their brand. I would love to talk to David Cancel. I might even be able to do that if I tried hard enough. You know what I mean?
You could. I went to their, they had a thing, well, last year in San Francisco, they invited me out to, as kind of like an influencer type deal. And it was awesome. It was a really great event. I think I had like 9 donuts or something. It was awesome. And just once again, put on a great, great show there. So they do an awesome job. So if anybody needs to get in contact with you or wants to get in contact with you, where can they reach out to you? Through LinkedIn, Instagram? What's your protocol?
I'm on LinkedIn, Adam Robinson, get emails. That's a good way. You could also just email me, adam@getemails. I mean, that's sort of everybody's email address. It's not like I'm worried about getting spam from your audience. So email's probably want a response.
Awesome.
I'm not really, despite doing a ton of social media advertising, I'm not really on social. It's
isn't that
like
funny?
Decision I made 7 years ago. To just
kind of a blessing.
And there was a time a couple of years ago when I was worried about it. I was like, am I just not ever going to be relevant? But then you realize like I can still pay to use this thing, you know, but even if it's not like you're paying one way or the other, right? You either pay with constant attention time, or you just pay dollars.
That's the things you can tap in anytime you want. Right. So it's like, and then you can get out. So cool, you guys. Hey, Adam, dude, this was awesome, man. I was so glad that we had you on the podcast today. You guys, if you like listening to this podcast and you like what you hear, make sure you subscribe to it as well. You guys, obviously, you guys can reach out to Adam. Adam did talk about the new thing they're going to be bringing out where they're giving, you know, free access to people with whatever. How many different emails? It was up to 500 a month?
Yeah, 500 per month forever.
Forever. That's a long time. Forever is a long time. Yeah, it doesn't even, this is, and he can't take it back because it's on a podcast and we have proof of it. So,
dude, I'm leaning into this one. Like we have,
that's right.
You know, it's like, it's just, this is going to be the marketing budget.
It's hopefully done. It just,
like sort of COGS expands with the growth. So we don't have to, you know, so figure out other ways to spend.
Go sign up and give Adam your money for God's sakes. Don't be cheap. Okay. Go out there, do some free stuff, but make sure we, you know, we go in and get on a paid plan as well. Adam, you're a gentleman and a scholar, my friend. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you.
I'm sure our listeners have learned a lot about email retargeting and marketing in general. Those listening out there, we promise to invite another amazing marketer on next week's show. Stay tuned to Shane Barker's Marketing Growth Podcast.